Welcome to High and Inside, the only baseball podcast. We are currently checking out, tuning in to the wild card match up between the old Wash Wash Natty Boys and the Milwaukee Brew Daddies. I realize it's two beer teams. It's Natty Light.
Someone made that joke. But I think it was like Katie Nolan. So basically, we should be working for ESPN. I think I've said that before. I'm just going to keep saying it. That's how vision boards work, right?
Yeah. You just keep saying it to a podcast that no one listens to.
Yeah.
It's the bottom of the eighth right now. Milwaukee's up 3-1. I'm taking on my announcer voice. Runners at the corners with two outs. And I don't know who is at the plate because
Anthony Rendon is at the plate. That's exactly who the Nationals would want at the plate right now. You will notice that everyone at Nationals Park is on their feet. It's a 1-0 count.
Why? Please tell me why it is that baseball broadcasts tend to show you the pitcher, whoever's pitching, definitely. But then it seems to be a toss-up as to whether they tell you who's at bat and, like, the bug or something.
I do not know, and
it drives me crazy.
It's even crazier when you consider that not every team has the name of the player on their jersey. So sometimes you just don't know until they show, like, a long chyron, and I think that's crazy.
For a casual fan, it's torture.
I don't know. And now they're like they're making this effort to show who's on the
base,
corners.
And I don't think in between that time they showed you that it was Rendon.
I don't think so either.
Well, he's up with a 2. I don't know what the count is.
2-0 count.
Where do you see that? It's where it says 2-0.
A 97 gotcha. Mile per hour fastball inside. You know, I said to you on my way home as we went into this, I don't think that 3-1 is going to be the final of this game because they're going to have to call on Hader for two innings of closure, and I just didn't trust the reliever in this situation.
Now, is Josh Hader related to Bill?
As far as I know, yes.
Here's a question I wanted to pose to you. Is there any part of you, because you seem to be pretty much a Bryce Harper hater, right?
Yeah.
Is there any part of you that would kind of revel in a Nationals World Series win this year?
Absolutely, like, yeah. That would be the silver lining.
Like, and I know
and
that
they're just they're a good team. I know they're a rival, but they're good.
Right. Wouldn't it be kind of sweet, though?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. No arguments here. Like, I've tried to really come around on Harper and just be like, he's good. He was young, like, people say and do dumb stuff in those situations. I don't think he's like...
What's a better pun for his name? Bryce Harper Lee or Bryce Harper Posey?
Harper Posey. But you know, points to both. Hello. I think that's what you have to do here. I think you have to walk Rendon there. Because no
that man looks angry at that walk,
terrified.
Even though he's on the team that just benefited for it.
Terrifying. It was, I don't know who that was, but it was really intense.
So now the base is loaded with two outs, and the Brewers only have a 2-run lead. Who do you want? Do you want either team to come out of this? Like, if you really had to pick between these teams?
I think that I do want the Brewers to come out of it just because I like the Brewers overall. I think it's a good story for them to have lost Yelich and still go into an actual division series.
It takes a while
for Juan Soto at the plate. This is big time, boys.
Big time, boys. It takes a while
for me.
He's going
to first pitch swing for sure.
It takes a while for me to be able to root for a new team, a team that moves or an expansion team.
Uh-huh.
Because, like, I don't think the Brewers have ever won anything, right?
No, I don't think so either.
They and usually my the barometer I use for who I'm rooting for in a game that I don't really care about, specifically in the playoffs, is who has gone the longest without winning one. And to me, that would be the Nationals to move and then win a championship this quickly would suck, especially for someone like Milwaukee who's been around for much longer and hasn't won stuff, you know?
I want to say that the Nationals' drought like, when would be the last time the Expos won it?
I mean, I don't know. Did the Expos ever win it?
And that's kind of where I'm coming from. I want to say the Nationals drought goes back into the history of the Expos. But other than that detail, I agree with you completely.
But I kind of refuse to count those teams as the same team.
I agree with you.
And I know that people do it. I know technically they may be because it may be same owners. I just refuse to do it.
But the Brewers are older than the Nationals, period.
For sure.
No, like, asterisk. Yeah.
It just doesn't count to me.
Yeah, I agree.
So that's kind of how...
1-1 count. Big swing from Soto. Hit into right field. That's going to score.
No!
Oh, my gosh. Who is that? They just biffed it. I think that's Ryan Braun. Oh, my God.
Did they just tie it?
They just went ahead.
Oh.
And they don't care. So...
Okay, so let's... What just happened was...
What the hell?
Soto hit a... sharp single to right that ate up the right fielder. All three base runners scored, putting Washington up 4-3. And then Soto was celebrating in the middle between second and third, and then just got tagged out to end the inning.
It just blew under their glove in the outfield.
Man,
that was insane.
So now Washington has a chance to win this game as we go to the top of the ninth.
But I think it's wild that they don't seem concerned about the fact that they...
That could be a mistake.
That was the last out of that inning.
But let's talk about the big thing that's happening during this broadcast right now, which is a teaser for the CW series Batwoman.
Correctamundo.
Starring Ruby Rose. How do you feel about it?
Feel like gonna skip it.
Gonna skip. Here's the thing I've been thinking playoff-wide recently is... I think that the Dodgers are going to win the World Series.
Okay.
And I think that for a very, for a reason that doesn't hold any water. And it's simply this. When I was spending time in Massachusetts, outside of Boston, the Red Sox broke their curse and won their first series in however many years. That was 2004. When I was living in Chicago... The Cubs broke their drought curse, whatever. That was in 2015, 16. So I feel like it's me.
How long had you lived in Boston before that happened?
It would have been my second year in college.
Interesting.
So 2 years, yeah, because I was a sophomore. I know that because of which dorm I was on, and we watched down while people like sort of rioted and SWAT teams came and threw people in the back of the truck. Yeah.
I've never seen that kind of like playoff celebration.
It was light. It was a college campus. So there wasn't like a ton of people.
Yeah.
But people were just being dumb. When the Cubs won, I actually had a ice hockey game that night. Yeah. So I was driving back as the game ended. And I remember being stopped on like Western people just... You heard people start yelling, and then people just kind of flooded out onto the streets. And not in a way that, like, I couldn't drive, but everyone was just, like, walked outside. Like, everyone from all the adjacent bars started high-fiving each other and just cheering. And even me and my car and everyone else, we were just, like, beeping our horns. Like, it was a really fun way to kind of, like, experience that.
It was awesome. It's easily the most fun I've had watching, you know, a championship like that.
Yeah.
Because I was out in it too. I remember I was telling someone this story the other day that I biked to somewhere to watch the game from my home where I'd been watching it during it, and I heard like people in their homes and bars responding to it. It was like Ross hit a go-ahead homer and everyone lost their minds.
Yeah, you can like palpably hear it when
it was awesome.
The Steelers won their Super Bowl in Super Bowl 43, I believe, against the Cardinals. I was watching it in my apartment by myself because I didn't want to watch it like at a viewing party because I was too stressed out about it.
Yeah.
And as soon as they won, a bunch of people kind of walked outside their apartment, so we all just started like screaming.
I wonder if something like that would happen here if the Dodgers did win.
Maybe. I mean, it seems like it's a more it's not so many people aren't native Angelinos. There's so many transplants here that, I mean, Dodgers obviously have a big fan base, but I don't think it would be the same communal experience.
I don't think so either.
But I could be wrong.
I actually you know, if we're going will win, should win.
Yeah, will win, should win.
I think that we're going to, I think the odds are on a 2017 matchup, which, rematch, excuse me, which would be Dodgers Astros. And I think we would get a replay. I think the Astros have the better team.
A repeat for the, Stros?
Yeah.
Who won the year before the Stros? The Red Sox?
Last year? Or the year before? The Cubs. Oh. We just talked about it. Cubs.
Wait.
Astros. Red Sox.
Right.
Now.
Okay. So the Astros didn't win last year. I got my wires crossed.
You forgot the Sox.
I try to forget the Sox.
You were just talking about them.
I'm so bored by them, though.
I would actually be really bored by a 2017 rematch. So I hope it's kind of anyone else.
What's the rematch you would root for
Oof.
That doesn't involve the Braves as Eric Thames strikes out? For there to be one out in the top of the
this
ninth.
This is wild.
Washington two outs away. Non-Braves match. What's the sexiest non-Braves matchup to you in the World Series?
Some dude named Grisham made the error.
John?
Just to... Yeah, he was too busy writing all them books. I think that it would have to be whoever comes out of this versus
this, meaning this game specifically?
Correct.
There's no other this right now, of course. That's what you meant.
Yep. Whoever comes out of this game, and maybe whoever comes out of the other wild card game.
Who's in the other wild card game?
A's and the Rays.
A's and Rays. So we got the beer teams and the Rhymey boys.
That's exactly what Nolan said.
Did you? I know that. I swear to you, I didn't look at it.
It's just so funny.
Did you say Rhymey boys?
Yep, that verbatim.
Man.
No, that was just like the same conversation they had about the matchups.
Oh, hilarious.
Hilariously. Like, I don't think that's obvious, but here
A's
we are.
You said A's and Rays.
That's how comedy works. Yeah, I just think they're, or the Twins, obviously. Like, otherwise, we've seen the Yankees, we've seen the Astros, get them out of here. We've seen the Cardinals. There's a strong hit right through center from Lorenzo Cain playing on a sprained ankle.
And there's a man cheering for him in the dugout.
That was, I believe, Mike Moustakas.
You know what, man? I'm just, I think anytime there was a person on camera in baseball, you should tell me who his
show
name is.
Show their name.
Every single person. Who's that first baseman? Who's on first
that
base? Who's the first base coach? What's this guy's name? That's Craig Counsell, the coach of the Marquee. You know what? And I'm even going to go harder on it. Everyone in the audience, too.
Oh, wow.
Everyone comes into the stadium.
One of those little talk bubbles.
Yeah, and you sign a piece of paper, and you have to give them your name, date of birth, social security number, and driver's license number.
Big pop-up from... Whoever was at bat, Kurt Suzuki has it for the second out.
Whoever was at bat.
Yep, didn't know.
So you have to give them, there's a 13-year-old kid who cares way too much about this right now.
Yeah, this is really intense. They've had no reason to be happy this whole game. So this is a huge
turnaround.
Huge emotional.
That's
like,
Ryan Braun.
That's Ryan Braun.
He looks like he's strung out on PEDs.
He looks a little froggish.
He does.
Oh my God.
Like a frog.
Oh, I thought this was Hader. I was like, why are they hitting Hader?
Well, it's a guy that just looks exactly like him.
Thank you.
Yeah, this guy actually looks like he probably moonlights as a nutcracker in the offseason. Do you see that jaw action? Jesus Christ.
He looks
Christ.
Like the only other things he owns besides baseball pants are like pantaloons.
And this guy could crack a cue ball in his mouth.
Ben Gamel. I'm not too familiar with Gamel. I recognize the name, but that's about
his batting gloves also look like gardening gloves.
Like, are they just like too big?
They're looked big and gray and padded. It's like maybe sand the bat if you're getting
oh my.
Thorns.
Oh my. Oh my.
That's it.
Oh wow.
That's it. Pop up to center, warning track power, and the friggin' Nats did it.
Just like that. That Grisham error is going to haunt the Brewers for a while. But I honestly think had they won, it would have been an upset.
If anything, it would have been tied if he didn't bobble that ball.
Yeah, I think it would have been tied as well. Yeah. I think it just would have led to a longer game.
Yeah. And you don't know, but man, what a turnaround. We turned that on at the right time, I guess.
Yeah, seriously. I knew that... I just felt that Hader wasn't going to be able to go two innings. I didn't think it would happen in the eighth, but...
I mean, you said as much. You said that 3-1 wouldn't be the final, and it was not.
I just knew Hader wasn't going to be able to do it. Something in my guts told me he wasn't that guy.
I mean, it's got... Man, it's
not against this lineup, to be clear.
It's got a sting as a Brewers fan to have lost Yelich, and then to be winning, and to be like, we lost Yelich, that's probably the season, and then to get into the wild card game, and then to be up in the top of the eighth when you're not at home in the wild card game, and then to blow it on a bobble in right field. What an unceremonious end to the season for them.
It sucks.
I kind of like don't really know how baseball celebrations work on a team scale. Like, I always enjoy watching the teams, what happened, like what the teams do after they win something. And it seems weird to be celebrating this much for a wild card game, but I bet this is kind of like league mandated. They print up shirts to like make it matter.
Yeah, for sure. I think that the wild card games, you know, we've talked about before that having it be a one game play in is terrible in terms of how all of the rest of the game is played.
It's stupid and dumb and shouldn't happen.
It's great television for the MLB. I mean, look at this game. The Brewers led all game. They were the total underdog. And then the Nationals come back to do this. Like, that's great for the MLB.
Sure, but it's a volume sport. The argument that it should be a series is always going to be better than the argument that it should be a single game.
I agree with you, but this is, like, exactly what they want it to be.
For sure.
It's almost, it's like, seems like it's always what they want it to be.
But I can't help but think about how much of a nut punch it is to any Brewers fan.
Sure.
You know, because it's just like, the that's what we there. Get. That's all we get. Our margin for error in the playoffs was a bobble in right field. That was it?
Yeah.
It sucks.
I mean, in the other direction, it would have been, you know, the Nationals would have been one Scherzer pitch that was a two-run homer before there was an out recorded would have been the difference, you know?
Yeah, but you had more game to make up for that at that
sure.
point.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird that there's gear for this.
But they still have.
If anyone owns whatever hat they print for this, I would laugh at them. Like, what a stupid. Like,
they're also just not good hats to begin with.
Anyone who bought. Like, any. Even, like, world champion merchandise is kind of lame. Because it never, like, looks good. It's, like, this mishmash of this, like...
That's what I don't appreciate about it, is that, like, the logos and, like, they're obsessed with gray because they just want to be able to make one hat that they slap a thing onto for whatever team wins. So it's always gray. It's always the worst.
It really, like, that really is true.
I hate it.
It looks terrible. I hate it all so much. Right now we're just watching...
Well, that was Juan Soto get tackled by his family.
We said the same thing. And this man is giving directions
Turner
to a lost woman.
Is taking a selfie with his partner.
It looked like he was sister, some blonde lady just came up to him and be like, so where is the bathroom? And he was like, okay, just like follow my finger. Look where I'm pointing. So you want to walk off the baseball field and then up those steps. And you see that little hole from here? It just looks like a little hole. Go into that hole.
Usually,
and honestly, take a right or left and look.
Left or right. Left or right. Toss up. Yeah. Shouldn't be too far from there, though.
Yeah. Yeah. You this is actually a great time to go. So, all right. Sorry. I got to get back. What was I doing?
while this is going on, I was going to bring up one other story from the end of the season, and maybe it'll kind of... also kind of elucidate like what should teams be playing for and like things you can hang your head on at the end of a year. So Mike Minor, a starter for the Rangers, former Brave.
Why doesn't he get a last name upgrade when he makes it to the MLB?
You know, that's a good question. More like Mike Major, right? So he was going for his 200th strikeout in his last start of the season. Obviously, it wasn't the team's last game, so it was a week or so ago. And
what teams did he play for?
The Rangers. And it was against the Boston Red Sox.
Who previously we said are reasonable people and fun to root for.
Correct. And he was pitching into the ninth inning. I think the score was like 3-1. There was one out. He had thrown over 120 pitches, if I'm not mistaken. And the Rangers were just letting him try to see if he could get his 200th K of the season.
Yeah, they were really just like, let's make this happen for you, bud.
Right. They have nothing else to play for. Everybody's amped for it. The next to last batter of the game pops up a pretty easy ball about halfway up the first baseline. You can clearly see the catcher barking at the first baseman to not catch it.
It's going to land in foul territory, right?
Correct. And he doesn't. He lets it fall. He kind of puts his glove out, but it's a very obvious, like, half effort. And Mike Minor went on to record his 200th K on that at-bat on a borderline pitch at best.
It was the next pitch, too, wasn't it?
I believe you're right.
Yeah. So they like, purposefully boofed a play so that he could get the strikeout.
So he had the opportunity. So he had two opportunities instead of one more. And Red Sox fans and writers, and some fans from other teams I've now seen, are furious about this.
Did the Red Sox didn't make the playoffs?
It didn't matter at all. Right. Both teams were completely eliminated from the playoffs at that point. It was, you know, both teams probably had five games left tops, because it was his last start of the year.
Right, for sure. I'll compare that to a football scenario where Michael Strahan was about to break the league record in sacks, and he was they were playing the Green Bay Packers, and Favre just basically, like, this is when Favre was quarterback, let him through and just, like, turtled so he could get the sack.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, asterisk, but yeah. Like, come on, like, 200 strikeouts is like a milestone that's not like a all-time record, right?
No, not at all.
It's just like a marker of a really good season.
Gerrit Cole got like 320.
Oh, yeah, right. And like, you got to consider he's had strikeouts given to him,
yes,
by the nature of like a call
exactly
here and there.
Exactly.
And strikeouts taken away from him by the nature,
yes,
of a call here and
exactly
there.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I guess if you're just bitter about not making the playoffs, sure, be mad at that. But, like, if it was your guy, you'd be happy for it.
Absolutely. There were people trying to argue, like, oh, this play the game. This is Bush League, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but the game doesn't matter, so
and
who cares?
Then someone's response to that was like, oh, so was it not Bush League when in the eighth all of the Red Sox swung at the first pitch so that Minor only threw three pitches that inning and couldn't get a K?
Right.
And then the person who was trying to make the argument was like, maybe that was their strategy against him. Maybe they were trying not to get behind in the count. And I wanted to reply, but I didn't. And just be like, well, maybe it was the Rangers' strategy to let some pop flies drop so that they could get more pitches in for Minor.
The thing that I think, though, is like, good on the catcher and the first baseman for like boofing the play.
I think so, too.
Like, just being that aware of it.
Yes.
And being the kind of guys that follow through on it.
Yes.
It's like, those are the kind of guys, like, if those guys are all on the team next year, they're all going to love, that pitcher's going to love that catcher, he's going to love that first baseman. Like, anybody wants those guys on their team that would do that for their guy.
That is exactly how it should be looked at. Like, every player was jazzed that it happened. The fans got into it. Like, who gives a crap how they got there? It makes it even a little more fun how they got there, in my opinion.
If I'm a baseball player and it's the last game of the season and the guy who bats behind me is two RBIs away from the RBI record and there's nobody in base, I'm leaning into that goddamn pitch.
Yeah, right. Like, right. Like,
I'm just going like, I'm on, get me on, buddy. Like,
yeah, you want it for your guys.
We got the Rays and the A's.
The Rhyme Bowl.
The Rhyme Bowl tomorrow night. The Tostitos Rhyme Bowl. Anytime I try to make fun of how ridiculous college bowls are, I always go to Tostitos. And there is a Tostitos Bowl.
Yeah, for sure.
You should go for like the Little Debbie Swiss Cake Roll Bowl.
I wouldn't be surprised if there was. Who owns Little Debbie's? Is that just Lil Debbie's?
I think Lil Debbie is like, that's as high as it goes. It goes all the way to the top.
It's not like a General Electric thing where they own NBC and like Cheetos.
Yeah, Little Debbie isn't like a subsidiary of Viacom. I think Little Debbie, the flow chart at the very top of the flow chart is one blog and it says Little Debbie. And there's a bunch of lines in there. Little Debbie, no lines from Little Debbie.
All the lines below were like, oh, milk cream pies.
Oh, milk cream pie. Swiss cake rolls. Fudge brownies.
That's a delicious org chart as far as I'm concerned.
For sure. Are those fudge brownies? They're like circles and they have like, they're brownie, but then they have like brown
fudge
icings.
Rounds.
Fudge rounds. Thank
fudge
you.
Fudge rounds.
If I'm rating them, and I'm about to do it. It's,
you gotta.
From 1 to 3 here, oatmeal cream pie, Swiss yes. cake roll, fudge round.
Correct answer.
Fudge rounds are dog shit.
Correct answer.
Fudge rounds, out of those three, fudge rounds are 6.
If that's not your answer, stop listening. All 10 of you, stop. Turn it off.
Yeah. And that was the wild card game.
Eric, what's the inside scoop?
We're going to go against formula with the inside scoop, and we're going to do an outside scoop. My outside scoop for this week is supporting your wife in her baseball league while she's in the World Series.
I think that's a good outside scoop.
You're in a best of three series right now for the championship of your baseball
league.
We
won coincidentally a one game play in to get there. And
which is one game is a little more palatable in this
yeah.
league because it's not real. I mean, it's real. It's just not the major
league. The World Series is 3 games. So if you're scaling it down.
Right. You scale it down correctly.
Yeah.
You know, it was a great game to watch because your team was, man, defense. You were winning the game with defense. Every play, you just came up with every single play.
And it was the story of the play-in and the first game of the World Series for sure.
And then one inning got away, and it started on a fairly routine play that you'd been making all game, and you boofed it.
Yeah.
And you kind of lost a heartbreaker. But I don't want to talk about the bad stuff about it. I want to talk about the good thing about it, which is you got a hold of a ball, and you hit that ball better than you've hit any other ball this season.
For sure.
Would you agree?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the shortstop made a great play.
Yeah. So in that, after that aforementioned inning that got away from us,
yeah.
I came up to the plate in a tie game with one on and no outs.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was the same pitcher who'd been in there the whole game, I think, wasn't
mm-hmm.
it? And so I was like, yeah, he's worn out. I know I can hit this guy. I shot one down the the first baseline, just foul, and was like, I know I'm on it. I was like as locked in as I've been. I just swung away at the next pitch, and it almost made it over.
I mean, you got it over his head. He had to like track back and catch it as it was falling. He didn't catch it too far away from the ground. He had to like stretch out for it.
Yeah.
He made a great, like, and it was like a backhanded over the shoulder kind of like, it was an incredible catch that he had to make. And it was so frustrating because like it had to feel good to get a hold of that ball.
Absolutely.
And it has to prove to you that, cause you've been mostly a ground ball leg them out type of batter, right?
For sure.
And you finally like got good wood on the ball, picked it up over, you know, that over their heads, but you hit them at they're gonna put one of their best fielders at short because it's where they're gonna get all those balls. It's just unfortunately
too. My biggest like thought about it is that one of the last things or that I could be bringing to it that I don't think I am is swinging through the ball.
Yeah.
And it makes me think that if I had like really swung all the way through the ball like I should have, it would have gone over.
Yeah, you have a tendency to kind of like you want to meet the ball, but that's all. But
yeah.
You kind of like you kind of back off as soon as you meet the ball and you don't drive through it.
Mm-hmm.
And it looked like you did drive through it more than you normally would there.
That's
and
good to know.
It's kind of required for you to hit the ball the way you did.
You would think so.
But you know you got to work. Swinging is hard. You have to do a bunch of things at once, and you have to like cock your swing back. You have to swing hard through the zone, then you have to follow through, and it's all like part of it.
I think I'm only getting better at it, and I have at least one more game to see if I can make that goal happen before the end of our season.
Well, we'll have to check back in. Hopefully we have some. We hopefully have two more games to give that a shot.
I hope so too, but at least one.
I was on the bleachers with some of the other players' wives, and we, you know, we'll talk through the game a little bit, and we'll just be like, "Oh, here we go." And you came up to the plate in that inning, and I just looked at one of those like, "Man, if she's hit a fucking home run right now," I was like, "Wouldn't that be the best?"
There's, I mean, you told me that if I hit a home run, you'd get me a dog.
That's right. Yeah, I would have. The offer still stands. You hit a home run, I'll get your dog.
Guys, who's got some PEDs?